Good morning. I want to extend a hearty welcome to each one that has come out this morning to this morning's worship service. I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the only name whereby we can be saved. And that brings me so much joy that I can hold on to that and know that he truly is God, and the promises that he's left us with in his word, that it will be there for all eternity. That is something that will never go away. I also want to greet you with the words which we find written in Titus chapter 1, verses 4b to start. It says, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen." And I want to go back later, starting in verse 1 to 5, and just go through that and the joy that Paul had in his heart, and he shared with other believers that walked with him, how he encouraged them, and how we ought to go forward encouraging one another also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a God of love. Thank you for leaving us a roadmap. Father, I thank you for Jesus, who was willing to come into this world, to be born as a baby. He grew up. He was tempted. He was tried. He was spit upon. He was mocked. He was crucified. And as he was on the cross, where they had nailed him to the cross, with his arms outstretched, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I believe that he had me and you in his mind already, that there are times where we go through life where he's still praying for us. But according to his word, there are also times where he's interceding for us, where when we find life so difficult, when we find it hard to go forward, that he intercedes for us. Father, we pray that as we have gathered here, that we might have prepared our hearts, that we would be able to hear what you have to say to us. May we take your word and go forward. May we be your hands and your feet to those around us. Father, we know that on our own it isn't possible, but through you all things are possible. And so we pray that you would strengthen us. Father, I thank you for the season that we're in, where we just celebrated, where we just were reminded of Jesus dying on the cross, where he was buried, he rose. And you tell us, he told the disciples to go out and tell all people, baptize them in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the baptism candidates that have come forward. Pray that your Holy Spirit would truly be upon them, and that their desire would be to serve you wholeheartedly. That this isn't just a step because of things that they have planned to do in this world, but that this step would confirm the baptism that they are desiring, that would truly confirm what has happened inside, that they have accepted you as their personal Savior. Father, pray for those that would love to be here but can't for whatever reason. Comfort them in a special way. May they feel your presence. May they know that you haven't forgotten about them. Lord, I Pray for each one that has a partner service, that you would strengthen them, give them the ability to do what they've been called to do. Also pray that as you give me the words to speak, Lord, that I would speak each word boldly. In your precious name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Turn it over to the song leaders.
All right, hymnal number 264. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Number 264.
Just to rest upon his promises, just to know.
Thank you for those songs. I should have mentioned before already, my name is Henry Reimer. We had good travel, roads were good to travel on. My wife drove this morning, which gave me some time to think, and I always appreciate that. Let's turn to Titus chapter 1. And as we just sang this last song, where it talks about, I am persuaded. I truly believe, excuse me, that Paul was also persuaded that when God called him, when he struck him down on the road to Damascus, where he was on his way to persecute the church, he was struck down and he says, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? And then when he was given instruction, he realized that the road he was on wasn't where God wanted him to be, and he thought he was doing what was right. But then he turned around and he walked the other way, knowing full well that he too would be persecuted the way he had persecuted. And he was willing to go that route. Nowhere does it say that he doubted, but he turned around and he walked the other way. Jesus' own disciples didn't want to be together with him. And so Paul had to go forward in faith, believing that this was truly where God wanted him to be. And he allowed God to teach him. Where are we at? Where are you at today? Are you fully persuaded that you are on the road where God wants you to be? And when we look at Paul's life, it wasn't a joy ride. And yet, he had joy in his heart. Even when he was chained up in prison, he rejoiced. He didn't run away from his circumstances. When Paul and Silas prayed in the prison and the chains, they opened up, all the doors opened up, he didn't run away. He saw the need of the worker that was there who wanted to kill himself, and he says, don't do that. How often do I run away? How often do you run away? When God puts a need before you, do we have time for that? Could be 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. We had a truss shop, we built rafters and it broke down and we were broke down. I needed to go to Steinbeck for some parts. And I knew that they were broke down at home. This was costing us money because they couldn't do what they needed to do. And I walk into the business and a man approached me and I didn't have time to talk to him. And I actually thought that yet, I don't have time, but I took time. And how God blesses. How, not much after, longer after I had started talking, my son calls me and he says, it has all been fixed. God wants faithfulness. He wants us to be true. And I'm not bragging. I'm just simply pointing out what God has done in my life, showing me how he blesses when we take time. Whether I think I have time or not, I couldn't see how that thing could have been fixed, but it was. God knows. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're facing. And just like he prayed for Peter, when Peter said, I'm going to protect you, Jesus. No one will touch you. First of all, he says, Satan, get behind me. Because this is Peter in his own will. On our own, it isn't possible. But I thank God that Jesus didn't stop there, but Jesus said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Sometimes we want to. And just like Peter and just like Paul, we're on the wrong road. God wants to help us. He will help us. Jesus knew the mindset of Peter. Peter wanted to do what was right, and yet at this time, that wasn't the right thing. Jesus came to what? To die on the cross. And the time was at hand where they would do that. And it needed to be fulfilled. Paul, when he was in prison and those chains dropped and he saw someone wanting to take his own life because of it, he knew that if this came to the governor's ears, that is what would happen to him. But Paul says, no. He says, don't do that. Don't take life into your own hands. And Paul was able to go to this man's house and bless those people. Give them hope. What hope are we sharing? What are people seeing in our lives? It's like the one minister I heard one time. He says, go out and preach the word of God, and if you have to, use words. Our life needs to be a light, not a stumbling block. Titus chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of a truth which is after godliness. So Paul here, he's writing to Titus, and he's not afraid to acknowledge the position that he's in. That God had chosen him as an apostle, as a disciple. He wasn't afraid of that. He wasn't going about boasting, look where I'm at. But he also wasn't ashamed to tell others. He wasn't ashamed to tell Titus that this is who I am. This is who God has called me to be. He go and it says there, according to the faith of God's elect. Do we have that same faith? And then he goes on, then acknowledging of the truth. Friends, truth will prevail. Truth will prevail. Jesus is coming back. He has promised. He said he would come, and he did. He said he would provide a way of salvation. And he did. And just before he went back to heaven, he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If that's not encouraging, what is? This world has so much to offer that'll give you peace for the moment. And then you need to find something else. Friends, in Christ, you have that peace all the time. Yes, we sometimes get sidetracked. I'm not saying that. We're all born of a sin nature. And we will get sidetracked. But when we realize that, the freedom that Jesus continues to give us to come back is what brings joy to my heart. Encourages me to go on. And be who God has called me to be. Paul goes on in verse 2 there, he says, in hope of eternal life. And that is what Paul was basing his life on, in hope of eternal life. Do we also have that same hope? Do we know God good enough? Do we know Jesus well enough? Do we believe what it says in his word? That we can also go out in the same hope that Paul is talking about here, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. When God created Adam, he stooped down and he drew Adam in the dust of the ground, and then he bent even lower and he blew the breath of life into Adam, which became a living soul, which all humanity have within themselves. There's no one that doesn't have that. We have that living hope in us. Are we accepting it? Have we truly taken that for what it is? Paul goes on in verse 3, he says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And I believe that this verse applies to each and every one of us. That is what God's calling is on you and me. And I'm not talking about maybe standing behind a pulpit, and maybe you will. But to go out, as he says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me. According to what? According to the commandment of God our Savior. Wherever it is, whatever the occasion, where God is called and he wants you to be a light, don't hold back. But allow that light to shine into darkness. We might only have one chance. We might only see the person once. And if we have missed that opportunity, what will we be facing? I thank God we can come to him and repent. Tell them we're sorry. Sometimes there are incidences out there where the window is short that we have to speak to those around us. What are we speaking? In verse 4, he says, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. And each and every one of us can put our own names in this verse. He's talking about Titus, and he says, my own son. But we can also, the ladies can also put their names in there. My own daughter. And in my opening verses, that I had grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Verse 5, he goes on, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. What a wonderful opportunity God puts before us. How many of those opportunities are we taking for real? How often do we shy back? How many times when I'm faced with a situation, do I first of all look around me to see who's all watching? To witness in this building with other fellow believers is so easy, right? We don't even have to look around to see who's there. But when we're out in the world and there's peer pressure, How well do we do? Friends, I don't have to look at you. I have to look at my own life. There's peer pressure all around us. And we should never be ashamed. We should never be ashamed. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they see, as long as they see the light in us. Stand up like Paul did. He turned around and he faced those people who he was together with whom he together went out and persecuted the church. Later he had to face those. And he was willing. And he was put in prison where he had time to write a lot of these gospels, to these different passages, that we can have the encouragement to go forward. That we can, when we're troubled, we can go to God's word. We can read. And I want to encourage you as baptism candidates, don't forget that. Don't, when things get tough, don't turn to this world. Turn to Jesus. He has what it takes to get you through. What this world has to offer, as I said before already, it's temporal. It's for the moment, and then it's gone. What Jesus has to offer, that you can take with you. And no one can take that out of your hands. No one can take that out of your heart. That is a heart matter. And when I choose to do what's right, when I go forward in the work of God, it is then that he is there also interceding for us. I want to turn to Philemon, verse starting in verse 10 to 19. I beseech thee, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me. So what Paul is saying here, that this man, he had not walked with God, but he had turned his way to God. And now it was profitable not only for this man, but also for Paul, because now they're able to help each other. And then he goes on, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. So can we see, and Paul also wrote this, can we see Paul's thoughts on how this brother would be able to help him? It would benefit him. He would be able to minister to him. And yet he saw that the need out there was greater, and he sent him out. And then in verse 17, he said, if thou count me therefore a partner, he says, receive him as myself. I like verse 18 and 19, where he says, if he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. Paul was willing to help this man out who had received faith, who is willing to go out. And Paul says, if he's been a stumbling block in your life, if there's something that he owes you, he says, put it on my account. Don't hold it against him. Verse 19 says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit to do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. So Paul, in the first part of verse 19 there, he says, I have written this with my own hand, and I will keep my promise. Paul was not only willing to let him go and serve others, but he was willing to take upon himself, if he owed somebody something that would keep him from accepting him, that he would put that charge to Paul, and Paul says, I will pay you for it. Don't hold it against him. I'm not sure how I would be able to face that. But that is truly the love of God. That is why Jesus came when he hung on the cross, not having sinned, yet he was willing to take all our sins upon himself and forgive us. And before he went back to heaven, he says, go out and preach the word. Are we truly willing to be that kind of a servant? For myself, I admit there are things that I could do better. There are places where I fall short. But let's not be discouraged if we have those places, but let's get up, make them right, and try harder. And I know we can't work our way into heaven. But if I know there's sin in my life and I don't take care of it, if I don't repent of it, it will not be forgiven. I need to acknowledge. We want to, in the second part of the service, we want to go into the articles of faith, where we will go through the first six articles. The first one is of God, the creator of all things. The second one is of the Son of God. Third one speaks about the Holy Spirit. Fourth one is Holy Trinity. Article number 5 is the birth of Jesus Christ. And then article 6 is the Church of God. And I know that the articles are man-written, but it is a good lesson book in how we, once a year, we go through it and we're reminded of different areas of life, different areas of the will of God, the work of God, and how he has orchestrated it and how we ought to go forward. I believe it's a good reminder. But before we do that, we have the wonderful opportunity of coming before all-knowing God, where we can pour out our heart to him. And I plead with you that you might do that. If there's sin, let's give it up. If there's joy, let's rejoice. So for those of you able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
In the red hymnal, page 273, stand up for Jesus. It's 273, and for those who are able to stand, sing, please.
Oh,
we have prayed in the name of Jesus, we can be assured of he will have heard our prayers. I want to go into the articles. If you have your catechisms with you, starting in page 117, Article 1 of God, the Creator of all things. We believe in our hearts and confess it with our mouth, in company with all the great patriarchs and prophets and chosen children of God, who have lived from beginning, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in an everlasting, almighty, and incomprehensible God, one who has created heaven and earth and all things visible and invisible, as stated in Genesis chapter 1. And he still sustains, governs, and supports with his mighty word all things. He is holy, entirely complete, a mysterious spiritual being, as our Savior himself testifies in John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He proceeds from himself and does not need help from anyone, as Paul writes in Acts chapter 17, verse 25. Neither is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he has given to all life, breath, and all things. He is everlasting, without beginning or end, an eternal and almighty God. Lord of the heavenly host, a King of kings, who is above all and through all and in you all. Ephesians 4, verse 6, a righteous judge. 2 Timothy 4, 8, a consuming fire. Hebrews 12, 29, a jealous God who will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate him. Exodus 20, verse 5, he is honest and just. He is holy and merciful, a God of love and compassion. He is a God which no one has seen nor will see, and dwells in the light to which no man can come, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light to which no man can approach unto. When I look at immortality, it is unending existence. And the second I found on that is exemption from death. So God has always been and will always be. First Timothy 6:16. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Isaiah 66:1. He is present everywhere. He sees all things, and no one can hide from his presence so that God will not see him. Proverbs 15:3. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. Of such ever-present God we speak. It is written in Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He is God alone and no one else. Everything must be obedient to his holy will, for his word is truth and his commandments are righteous. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood. Psalm 33, 4 and 9. In the Lord we have righteousness and strength. Before him all knees shall bow and all tongues shall confess him. Isaiah 45, 23 and 24. To this great Lord and God, we must cling with a living and everlasting faith and obedient, and be obedient to him. For if we want to learn to call our God, Abba, dear Father, then we owe it to him to show him childlike obedience and to love him with all our strength, with all our heart and soul and mind, according to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. When Jesus says that when they brought a small child to him and the people said, take him away, Jesus doesn't have time for him. He says, if you don't have faith as a young child, you will not enter into heaven. And so we need to have that faith that God truly is who he says he he is. Article 2 of the Son of God. We also believe in and confess Jesus Christ, the true Son of the everlasting God, who is called the Word, which has been from God, with God from eternity, the light and glory of his Father, according to Hebrews chapter 1. Through him, the earth and all things were created, as stated in the Gospel of John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Epistle of the Hebrews testifies in chapter 1, God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Colossians 1:16 states, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. David states in Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, that God has created all things by Jesus Christ. Therefore, we also, together with Thomas, according to John 20, confess him as our Lord and God, and with Peter and Nathanael, that he is the Christ, the living Son of God, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature, Colossians 1:15. In Acts 4, verse 12, we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yes, we confess that he is the true God and eternal life, our own Lord, Savior, Redeemer, and our salvation. And that is my wish and my prayer, that we too truly believe that there is no other way but by Jesus Christ. Article 3 of God, the Holy Spirit. We also believe in and confess the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, John 15:26. Of this Spirit, David said in Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He is the only consolation of the afflicted, the power of God from on high, Luke 24. His Holy Spirit leads us in all truth, and all who are moved by the Spirit of God are children of God, Romans 8. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Through the Spirit we examine all things, also the mysteries of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. But God has revealed unto us by the Spirit that we are the children of God. In 2 Peter 1, verse 21, we read, for the prophecy came not of old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also moved the apostles of the Lord to speak in many tongues of the mighty works of God, and to praise and to glorify his name before all people, Acts 2. In Isaiah 11, verse 2, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And through him be praise to God the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom, from now into all eternity. Amen. When Jesus walked with his disciples and he told them that he needed to go back to heaven, and then he also stated that the sooner I go, the sooner you will have this Holy Spirit with you, one that will lead you and teach you and guide you. And that same Spirit is still there for us, and I trust with us. of the Holy Trinity. So the first three articles, we talked of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and this article talks about how they are one. We believe and confess that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one Almighty God. As John says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, not only one or united, but wholly one in action and in will, as well as in accomplishments, in like honor and glory, one not without the other, equally eternal, not three persons, but only one God, the only one and none other. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Romans 11:33. "Yet vast is this godly and blessed mystery." 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. "Much of which remains beyond our grasp, and God's ways beyond our understanding, yet they are believable." And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says, To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that this triune God is inseparable. Jesus himself teaches in John chapter 14, verse 9, "For when Philip asked the Lord, 'Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us,' Jesus said unto him, 'Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?'" In John 12, 44 and 45, Jesus says, He that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. In John 10:30, our blessed Savior says, "I and the Father are one." He does not say united, but one. And when the Apostle Paul wants to bless his faithful followers, he pronounces his blessing in the name of the triune God and says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Article 5 of the birth of Jesus Christ. We believe and confess, as the whole scripture testifies, that he, Jesus Christ, from eternity was born of God and has always been with God. But when the time which God had set for the salvation of the world was fulfilled, he sent his Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. As I was reading this portion here, when it says, "But when the time which God had set for the salvation of our world was fulfilled," and that is still so relevant today. There are times where I would like to know things, and yet God knows that I'm not ready for it. So we need to wait, just like the people needed to wait for the salvation of Jesus, that he would come. We also need to be patient. We need to wait. We need to have that peace within us and then be at peace because of that. I want to continue. "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, according to the holy prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. And when the angel speaks to Mary, she was surprised how this was to happen, for she knew not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, 'The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.'" Luke 1:34-35. This is why the Apostle Paul is filled with wonder when he says in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ became man, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:7. God has also exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Philippians 2:9. Hebrews 4 says, he is sinless and spotless. He was not created like Adam, but is the Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians 15. He proceeded from the Father and came into the world. Then he departed this world and proceeded to the Father. John 6. And all this he did for our sake, because otherwise we would have remained forever in God's anger and disgrace into which we all with Adam have fallen. Therefore we believe and confess the birth of Christ as man and his great humiliation. But at the same time, he did not relinquish his heavenly majesty and individuality. For in him abides a Godhead bodily, Colossians 2. And remains true God and man in one person, and has saved us all through his suffering and death, and restored what we lost through Adam. For God created man to everlasting life in righteousness and holiness, but through sin, death has conquered all men, because all have sinned. Romans 5:12. But God's everlasting love and pity for all, and promised them that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Genesis 3:14-15. Yes, God's holy love had compassion. Man, being God's glorious image, should not be lost. This is why the Lord Jesus came to earth and became man, so he could help man again and make him blessed. For Christ's whole life and conduct on earth was one of pure love wherewith he loved us all. Because he was born on earth as a child and gave himself as an atoning sacrifice for all the sins of the world. 1 John 2:2. Our children in their innocence are blessed children of God. He also was burdened by our sin and weaknesses through his holy life. But of him are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto the wisdom and righteousness, redemption and sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. He was sacrificed for our sin. He died and was buried and was raised again for our justification. Romans 4:25. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:10-11. In conclusion to this article, we say, thanks be to our Lord Jesus for his suffering and death when he died for our sake, for he has thus purchased us with his precious blood so that we can inherit his heavenly kingdom. To him and his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit be eternal thanks for this great love. Amen. Article 6 of the Church of God. We confess, too, that God has had from the beginning and always will have a visible church or a people whom he loves. This church he began with Adam and Eve in paradise. Afterwards, he kept as his church the pious patriarchs and ancestors with their houses and families, With Noah, he renewed his promise, and with Abraham, he made a covenant, Genesis 17:4. He and his seed should become the chosen people and his possession. This was the church of the Old Testament. The seed of Abraham, the generation of Isaac, and the offspring of Jacob, or the Jews under the law. When, however, in the fullness of time, our Lord Jesus came with his gospel of mercy and grace, he sent his apostles into the world, whole world. By the preaching of the gospel and through it, they were to gather the church of all people and tongues who would become converted and believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, these together were to have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, Ephesians 4:5. Those who are united in one faith and are baptized into one body through Christ with God in heaven, and who have Christ dwelling in their hearts, Ephesians 3:17. In this way, the fellowship of a church was one body, who together, without respect of persons, are one body and one soul through Jesus Christ, who support and keep each other in love and in prayer before God. I want to just stop here for a little bit. As it says here, who support and keep each other, and how important that truly is, that we are there for our brothers and sisters, that we are there to uphold them when they go through hard times, when they're in the valleys. When we're up on a mountain and we see someone in the valley, let's be there for them. Let's encourage them. God has called us, just like he called his disciples when he told his disciples, go out. He's calling us. Those disciples have passed on. Our forefathers have passed on. It's up to us. If we don't do it, who will? That in the church, which according to Acts 2, God has chosen for himself to every tongue and nation, a people that fear God and live righteously. So color, creed, it doesn't matter who we are. God has died for us. He has prepared a way for everyone to come back to him. That is why the Apostle Paul says, the Lord has gathered a church for himself by his own blood and has cleansed it with the washing of water by the word, that this church reflects one that is glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, as stated in Ephesians 5:26 and 27. This church will then be called the house and temple of the living God. And we know that God lives within each, his spirit lives within each and every one of us. 1 Corinthians verse chapter 3. It is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, of which Christ is the cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20. This church is also recognized by its faith in the scripture, which is the faith working in love, Galatians 5, verse 6. It is founded on the pure teachings of scripture and on the godly and just conduct the members have with each other and in keeping of the commandments of God as has been taught by Jesus. The head of the church. In conclusion, by faith, we believe that the Lord Jesus, according to his promise, will be and remain with the church and all believing Christians to the end of the world. Matthew 28:20. That no power or force of Satan, neither the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. May we come to the true knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail, that God will prevail, and that when we surrender to him, there's nothing that can tear us away. Before we go into the registration forms, to those that have come forward and have a desire to be baptized, I want to read a few verses out of John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. And I believe these are very, very familiar verses. John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So again, these are Jesus' own words. There is no other way. And I want to turn to John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then Jesus answers that with a question. Believest thou this? Do you believe that Jesus truly came? He gave his life. He has won the victory over death. Isn't that wonderful? That is so sweet. We want to go to these baptism candidate registration forms, and we want to announce the candidate and its first witness for today, and for next Sunday, the second witness needs to come forward. So I want to start with the first one here, Dane. Do I read the whole thing? Just name and a witness. He's the son of Jonathan and Karen. And his first witness is Jonathan Friesen. Thank you. Carlton Wayne Redicup. Corny and Cornelius Redicup, Margaret Thiessen, his parents, and the first witness is Corny Redicup. Thank you. Jeffrey Aaron Dirksen. Daryl and Sherry are his parents, and the first witness is Henry Reimer. Thank you. You may be seated. Thomas Elias, his parents Jonathan and Barb. His first witness is Jonathan Elias. Samuel Jacob Weeb. His parents are Heinrich and Helena, and first witness is Heinrich Weeb. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to encourage you to go forward. Don't take this step lightly. I believe it's a very important step in life that you can take. And may God go with you and be witnesses for him. We've come to the end of the service, and we want to one more time go on bended knee. And for those of you who are able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Red hymns again, number 96. When I surveyed the one who's cross, number 96.
Our grace, Good morning. Thank you for that singing. God is so good. Thank you, Henry, for that message and encouragement that we need to go on and persevere in life. Even though we go through some hardships, we know that Paul did. He went through quite a few hardships, but he also persevered and said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
As for this morning's worship service, I have nothing more to bring you out of God's word, but I want to thank you for coming. I'll have a prayer, and then I'll end with a benediction, which I've chosen out of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Unite with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of this service. Father, we thank you that you are a God of love, that you are a God of grace. Father, we thank you that even when we are accused of doing things that we haven't done, that you know right well the truth. Father, we pray that as we go forward, that we might truly be your hands and your feet. And at this time, Lord, I want to lift up the candidates that have come forward that have a desire to be baptized. Pray that you would overshadow them with your love, that you would protect them from Satan, and that you would strengthen them as they go out in the world, as they are your hands and your feet. And we know that Satan doesn't want them to be there, and I pray that you would just protect them, that they'd be able to have the courage to stand up for what is right. And then for the benediction, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And you may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching.